This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:36 in the morning, 25th of March 2022. Ku Su Chuang, Wong Xiao Ning, Shazana Mokhtar, and Tan Chen Li, different Chinese person. Now, still on politics, but international ones. US President Joe Biden is in Russia. In fact, he's in Europe. He's arrived in Brussels for back-to-back summits with NATO, the G7, and the EU.
And after which, he will be visiting Poland, where the largest number of displaced Ukrainians have fled to. And this is a very interesting trip, actually, because the U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said that the President Biden's agenda includes meeting with key leaders to enhance Europe's energy security and to address its dependency on Russian oil. And then the next phase of military assistance to Ukraine and tightening the conditions to prevent any evasion of the sanctions already imposed. So a lot to unpack. And I think President Biden has actually also announced another round of financial sanctions on Russian entities after the NATO summit, which concluded last evening.
Yeah, so for some thoughts on Joe Biden's meetings, we now turn to Dr. Adrian Ang. He's a research fellow in the U.S. program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Dr. Ang, thank you for joining us. Now, President Biden has traveled to Brussels. He's having back-to-back summits with, you know, the NATO, G7 and the EU. What do you think is the main purpose of his trip?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Biden's trip to Europe, I think, has several functions. First is to show collective will. That was stated by Jake Sullivan before. It was also for the allies to take stock of where the Russian invasion of Ukraine is at 4 weeks into its course. And also to reassure NATO allies in Eastern Europe.
Adrian, I think we saw some headlines regarding the latest round of sanctions by the U.S. on Russia. They are going to impose sanctions on members of the Duma. That's Russia's lower house of parliament. What do you think? Will these sanctions work in addition to the host of sanctions that have already been imposed by Western countries?
I think if we look at the most recently announced sanctions, I think those sanctions on Duma members are largely symbolic. Hmm. What is probably more important in yesterday's rounds of sanctions are the sanctions targeted towards Russia's defense industrial base. So, right, the sanctions included companies that were manufacturing weapons. So I think, you know, those are more important than largely symbolic sanctions against Duma members.
Hmm. Adrian, if I may, I guess it's still early days yet in terms of what these sanctions actually entail. But what do these round of sanctions mean for other countries that actually heavily rely on Russia for military weapons? I'm thinking at the top of my head, India.
Yes, right. So these sanctions are going to be problematic, not just for India, but, closer to the home in our region, for countries like Vietnam as well. Because, you know, one of the main reasons for the reticence of countries like India and Vietnam to condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine is their heavy reliance on Russian military equipment. So, and, you know, this is not something that can be rectified overnight. There are reports that the U.S. has made an offer to India to help replace Russian and all Soviet equipment. But, you know, that is something that simply cannot be achieved anywhere in the short term.
In addition to sanctions, it is expected that there will be new action aimed at reducing Europe's dependency on Russian gas. But what other alternatives could Biden actually bring to the table? Would purchasing American oil be an option at all?
That is an option. But again, you know, in terms of reducing Europe's dependence on Russian energy, it is, again, something that is going to be difficult in the short term, right? With Russia accounting for something like 40% of Europe's total consumption of gas for heating and power generation, you know, even if the United States wanted to surge supplies to Europe, right, there are problems of capacity that cannot be addressed in the short term. So the Europeans have also gone shopping to supply other sources of gas. So the Germans have secured a long-term contract for natural gas from Qatar. But again, you know, these are remedies that will work for Europe in the long term, not the short term. So in the short term, right, so Europe is still in this extremely awkward situation of, you know, imposing all these punishing sanctions on Russia while at the same time still purchasing Russian energy. So, you know, Europe is still contributing, you know, over $1 billion a day to Russia's coffers.
Yeah, so what we've been discussing, Adrian, are the manifestations, the fallout from a globalized world if these sanctions are being assessed and taking hold. Just on a more macro level, the Europeans will meet the Chinese leaders on April the 1st. No joke, right? They actually do meeting, and they'll be holding a summit. They want to discuss, you know, other issues. How do the European Union, what are they going to say with the Chinese leaders in terms of the allegiances and you know, the whole macro issue brewing?
So I think at least right now, the Americans and the Europeans appear to be on the same page in at least sending China the message that China should not aid Russia in its invasion of Ukraine. I think, you know, there's going to be issues about what the definition of aid is. And they're going to also try to get, you know, China to at least call it an invasion or condemn the invasion. I don't think that is going to happen. China is probably going to hedge as best it can. So then the question becomes, right, sort of, you know, what will Europe do if China does nothing? I think it depends on what China's actions are. Again, you know, in terms of Russia, we're looking at an economy that has, I think, the GDP, the size of Italy, right? You know, China is a completely different case. It is the world's second largest economy. First, if you calculate it by purchasing power parity. So, you know, and you know, for Asia especially, right? You know, China is, you know, so deeply embedded into the regional economy that, you know, countries are going to have to take a serious long think, right, if Europe and the West and the United States imposes sanctions on China.
Right. Okay, Adrian, we've got a couple of minutes time. We've got a couple of minutes left, right? Let's zoom out a little bit. And we're about a month into the Ukrainian invasion of Ukraine, right? How does the Singapore government view and assess what's happened in the last 4 or 5 weeks in terms of how ASEAN embraces or deals with what's happening in Europe?
I think for ASEAN, you know, ASEAN came under a lot of criticism for its sort of weak and tepid statement on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But I think, you know, that was to be
expected.
Is
that because ASEAN does a lot of business with China and China is supposedly allies with the Russians?
No, I think the problem, you know, such as it is, lies in the nature of ASEAN as an organization, right? So ASEAN requires unanimity to function, and the statement was simply the lowest common denominator among the Russian states, given, again, you know, the different opinions among member states. So, you know, earlier, you know, we talked about countries like Vietnam, right, that is heavily reliant on Russia for its military supplies. So, and you know, Vietnam has no intention of alienating Russia as a result. So I think that was simply the result of the lowest common denominator approach. So ASEAN, you know, insists on centrality.
Okay.
Right? But the problem is, you know, ASEAN has no unity.
Okay. Adrian, one last question and maybe 30 seconds. So what do you think of President Biden calling for Russia to be expelled from G20? Do you think this is an easy thing to do?
I don't think so. As far as I understand it, I don't think there is any formal mechanism to expel Russia from the G20. So I don't know how that would happen.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Adrian Ng, Research Fellow in the US program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.